I preached another 40 minutes on it today. I'm in the middle of the first page now. So it seems like we're going to spend a few moments, not that this does not warrant all the time in the world, because this was the birth of the church. I had a birthday not long ago, and I called my mom, and I said, "Tell me about my birthday. I know I was there, but I just don't remember anything about it." So she told me some more things about a birthday, and I want to talk about the birthday of the church. That's where we are, isn't it? The birthday of the church. The church became the body of Christ on that day, and now when we assemble together, we form Christ here in love and power. So did I give you enough time to find Acts chapter 2, first 12 verses, but we'll see how far we get. I think we're at 2.5 right now. All right, you ready? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" And others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." We've just read the fulfillment of the scripture that God has promised to Moses about 1312 BC, that God said, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." I'm here to remind you, God wants you to be holy. He wants you to be a holy person. He wants you to be separate, committed to Him, and a part of His family. On this particular day that we have just read about, it was determined that God would pour out His blessing so that they would become the holy people He determined that they ought to be. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. We're here together today, aren't we? Remember the old little story they used to do with the kids? Here's the church, there's the steeple, open the door, and right? The rest of it, open the door and there's the people, right? The church is not a building. The church is the people. Does that make sense? Somebody's got to rewrite that. Here's the people that becomes the church. How amazing is that? This story tells us where the people became the church or the body of Christ. It was a promise. The Lord said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses." The power He gives us is the witness that we really are who we said we are, a child of God. It takes power to say that, doesn't it? It takes His presence and power working in us and through us so that we can be witnesses where we live, where we work, and where we ride the bus. Sometimes I think the kids have the tough job riding the bus, don't they? Well, maybe the bus driver and the monitor have the real tough job. Just keeping, well, there's probably not an easy job on the bus now that I think about it. But we get to become witnesses to the Lord. The Holy Spirit arrived on the day of Pentecost like a mighty wind. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. You know, there's a problem with the wind is you can't really see where it's going, right? We watch those pictures, haven't we? You watch the satellites and all that, and they can give you a kind of a general direction, but we still know that the weather surprises the weathermen, don't you? What other job can be right 40% of the time and still have a job? Who else can say, all I can tell you is percentages? My brother worked at a radio station for a while, and this was back when they used to use the National Weather Bureau and they'd send everything through a teletype. Did I just age myself that I even know what a teletype is? They paid for that service and it would come and it would, and he could hear it from the other room, and it was almost worse than a dot matrix printer because it's going, nee, 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 and a message is coming through. And then when you get that message from the Weather Bureau, he would have to read it. He gets this one day, beautiful day in June, not like quite like today's, not too bad compared to Friday. This is a beautiful day. He reads it, and he was told to read exactly what it said. That was his job. We pay you to read that report. He picks up and he reads it, and it talks about partly sunny, mostly beautiful. And it is raining dogs and cats out the window. And he reads that thing because they told him to read it. And then at the end, he couldn't help himself. He says, for actual local weather, look out your window. Because he said, how do I read this? It's beautiful. And it is nasty. Yeah, for your actual local weather, look out your window. He said, I just felt so bad telling him it's going to be beautiful. Plan for the picnic. Take the carpet, right? Take the car, your chair, your favorite chair. Go to the ball game. Enjoy the park with the kids. Wasn't going to happen. And for us, as we're here, we know that the wind kind of goes where it wants. The wind blows where it wishes. Jesus said that. You can't tell where it's going. But listen to the good news of the gospel. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Aren't you glad the Lord knows where we're going? Even when I don't. Even when I don't know where I'm going, he knows how to help me to get to where he wants me to be. When Solomon consecrated the temple in Jerusalem, it was filled with a cloud. It came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. I need to tell you that the building cannot act unless they're blasting close by and the walls shake. That's about as much movement as we get on these walls around here. Buildings don't act. Buildings do not follow the Lord. Buildings are built with men's hands. It was not what the building did that made it holy. Men cannot make a building holy. God makes people and places holy because of his presence. Do you see the difference? Why did Moses have to take off his shoes when he was next to the burning bush? Keep in mind, the bush was burning, but the bush was not harmed. And you need to know that when God blesses you, when God's helping you, he will not destroy you. He will bless you. You see the difference? We've burnt a lot of bushes, haven't we? We've even cut trees. Any of you burn wood? And you got upscaled to a pellet stove. Them little pieces of trees. It's still a tree, right? Ooh, I'm not hurting trees. I'm burning pellets. Okay, right? That's like thinking your meat comes out of the meat section at ShopRite. Right? You're following all this, aren't you? If it wakes you up in the middle of the night, someone call me. Tell me, Pastor, I just got it. I just figured out where you're going with that. It was not the building that makes people holy. It is God who makes people and places holy, including the ground. Anybody remember what we were made out of? Dust. He picked us up. Isn't it amazing? I go to my doctor and my doctor tells me that I need iron. I'm like, what? It's a mineral in the ground, isn't it? Yep, iron. Are you kidding? Then he tells me I need something like some vitamins and stuff. And I said, well, how do I get that? He goes, go stand in the sun. Are you kidding? I need things that are in the ground. I need things that come from the sunlight. This is what you're telling me? I need to be healthy? It's almost as if I'm dirt. Are you telling me I'm dirt? Are you confirming what the scripture says? Just a pile of dust, and I need all these individual elements within me to be healthy? Pretty much. So when are we going to debate how I was made and where I came from? So this event, we see that it is not the building, but he wants us to know of his presence. Did you catch this? That these priests could not minister. Why? Because the presence of God was so great. On this day, we are celebrating the truth that it is the presence of God that helps us to minister. God's presence doesn't keep us from ministering. When he fills this place, this thing that Paul says, don't you know you are the temple of God? Do you see that day as a description of years to come and a promise of God says, one day my presence is going to be so full, you won't be full of yourself anymore. You'll be filled with me. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? That God will help us to be filled with him. I'm here to tell you that God's demonstration of power is not just smoke and mirrors or smoke and earthquakes. It is a fire, and it is a fire that cleanses and tempers, just like we know physical fire does. Any of you ever temper anything? Do you ever have to temper it? Do you ever notice it? Was it the wrong temper? Right? Did you know without temperament, metal is of no good? It just doesn't work. It doesn't work right. It's either too soft, you can't use it to shape anything, or it's too hard anytime you move it, it's brittle. So they temper it with what? Heat! Fire! And don't you know without God, you can't do anything either? I used to say either, but my daughter says it's either. You do know you can't do anything either. I'm working on it. If I say either, don't rat me out, all right? Just count it. Find out. I'm about 50-50 right now. I can say it either way. Yeah. I prefer to say it either way. It's just easier. Sorry. So this is the good news, that we become as of witnesses for God. It's not the earthquake. It is not our work. It is God's work in us. There appeared to them, divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. God is turning on a light that shines in darkness. Literally, it's his light as the flames of his spirit rest upon their lives, rest upon their heads. You need to remember where the fire came from. It wasn't a couple guys getting a stick and rubbing it. It wasn't when some of them upgraded. You seen the little bows with the string? You can make the stick go faster to try to create a fire. This was a fire that came from heaven. This is not just a fire that fell from heaven as of lightning. This is a fire that fell from the Father. It was a promise that he gave that he would make them holy. And he would make them a priest and a holy nation. And this is the day he fulfilled that for all who believed. Remember, the fire came from the Father. Remember, it rested on those who were waiting, those who had gathered together, those who were obedient to his only begotten. And remember who brought the manifestation. It wasn't the people in the room. They weren't doing things to show they were filled. It was God moving them that proved they were holy. See the difference? I'm not going to tell you a lot of things because, again, it's not the externals. God looks at your heart. Does that make sense? I still remember some of the scriptures when Samuel first saw David's oldest brother. As soon as he seen him, he went, "Whoa, that's the king of Israel." And God said, "You're looking externally here. I'm looking at his heart." Next. Aren't you glad we're not the church of the external? You know, one time somebody complained to me and said, "Pastor, do you know who was in your church?" And I went, I know some of them. I don't know everybody that shows up. Sometimes they just surprise me. Most of the time they surprise themselves, though, I'll tell you that. And he said, "I can't believe you let anybody come to your church." I said, "Well, there's some things I got to tell you. Number one, it's not my church. It's my dad's church, if that makes any sense. And I do what he tells me to do. And number two, it's not the church where anything goes, but it's the church where anyone is welcome." You understand the difference? I'm not ignorant. I'm not naive. I do know just a few things. I hang out in places a lot of people are not comfortable with. Does that make sense? Funeral homes? Jails? Hospitals? ICUs? CCUs? Right? Yeah. Some of those places people are just not comfortable. Do anybody know why we go there, why the Lord and I go there? Because we're needed. Does that make sense? All right, let me keep going here. As we look at this, we remember the manifestation is of the Holy Spirit. It's not what men wanted to have happen. It was what the Holy Spirit determined would happen. And the light of the gospel, the light of the Holy Spirit, lightened the darkness. Remember the results. The sins were forgiven, and now they had power. They had some power. It appeared as tongues. It appeared as fire. It appeared as the light in darkness. Most of the time when we have fire coming from the sky, it's not a good thing. You remember the meteorite from Russia? That was not a real good thing. I'm still amazed, aren't you, that it landed on a frozen lake and it caught all the stuff that would have happened had it not landed exactly where it landed? If it would have landed anywhere else, it would have been devastating. Other times when lightning comes from heaven as a fire would be like lightning. It's never good to be struck by lightning. But this fire changes us. This holy fire rests upon us to transform us, to make us witnesses. It is grace that allows God to work upon our lives in such a way that I don't even always know God is using me. There are times I have to ask, did that help? Because I wasn't even sure I was doing the right thing. Does that make sense? Did I come at a good time? Is this a good time? Was this helpful? Was this useful? And people are going, "Pastor, you always show up at the right time." One lady tells me, "Every time I need Jesus, you show up." I'm like, that's a pretty good confirmation I'm supposed to be here. Does that make sense? So, and I'm not even, maybe I should tell you, I got lost in the hospital. I went down the wrong hall and I had to come back. And when I walked by the room the first time, the door was closed. And when I came back this time, when I got turned around and as I walked back through the other way, the door is now open. And as I walked by the doorway, she says, "Pastor Schaefer, get in here." And she said, "When I opened my eyes from praying, you were right in the middle of the doorway." I said, "Well, I'm lost." I got my east and my west mixed up. I thought I was headed to the east rooms and I was on the west side. There's no east rooms on the west side of the hospital, Michael. I just want you to know that. You're working there now, but the east, never mind. But being at the right place at the right time brings God glory and honor. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean I do everything right. It means He does everything right. And if you ever thought you were at the wrong place at the right time or the right place at the wrong time, God doesn't operate that way. Does that make sense? Just a few minutes ago, I walked over to Chris and I said, Chris, can you sing today? And he goes, I did bring a song, but it's in the back. Can I go get it? Okay. Do you understand how He changes our schedule? Do you understand what He does to us? I have even booked places and times in my calendar. I keep a little digital calendar. I have put dates in backwards, and the day that I had opened, it was filled up by emergencies. Is that amazing? One day this week, I thought I was supposed to be in Albany, and I'd put it down that I was going to be in Albany, so I didn't plan anything to do, and then I found out I wasn't going to Albany until it wasn't 8 o'clock in the morning. It's supposed to be like 8 o'clock at night. So I have a whole day I didn't schedule, and I'm going, So when you know it, text. Anybody like text? I got a text from somebody who said, hey, Pastor, what are you doing tomorrow? And I'm going, I'm not sure what I'm doing tomorrow. Why? He said, can we do a road trip? I was just thinking, there's somebody at the hospital. Can we go visit them down in Westchester? I'm like, you know what? I didn't put anything in my day. And we went for the road trip. We got back. And when we got back to the house, we found out that what they thought they had scheduled was a day off for the day that we went. It wasn't until June. So they took a day off. Didn't have a day off. Both of our calendars were wrong, but it opened an opportunity for us to go and pray with somebody in the hospital. It's the first time I ever heard of two wrongs were right, because we were right where we were supposed to be. And the traffic was unbelievable. We actually left and got back faster and quicker than sooner than if we had ever even just made the trip, and we spent over 30 minutes in the hospital room. We're really praying and traveling and just working together, and God did a wonderful, amazing thing out of my misschedule, their misschedule, but our divine appointment. Does that help? Do you see where this is not making me look good? This is making God look good. Do you understand how that works? And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us a light, that we are at the right place at the right time, even when that was not our intention. So there is a lot of testing of the Spirit to find out, is this the right message? Do you understand? I thought I would have preached through this last week. I thought, surely I'll get through it today. I will preach and quick and talk and just hold on. Here we go. And we're done. And then He shows up, doesn't He? And He changes absolutely everything because of His presence. And He lets us to talk about clearly and so easily about the power of God we see resting on other people. And it is not our confirmation of the Holy Spirit that we see God in us, but that others see Him in us. Wouldn't this be a miserable thing to try to preach to you that I really am a believer and I'm trying to defend myself and I want to prove to you I am the only one who really knows it. I'm the only one who's got it. That'd be a miserable place to worship, wouldn't it? I want to see God working in your life, but you can't manipulate Him to work in your life. You have to ask Him to work in your life. Do you see the difference? It's not, look at me. It's not the little finger, right? You want to see what you're supposed to look like when you're holy? Here, look here. No, if you want to know what you're supposed to look like when you're holy, look at Jesus. That's what God said is the demonstration of holy. That's what the demonstration of one who is willing to do whatever I ask. We need to report when we see God working and using our neighbors quickly. This is not a contest. This is not who's the greatest. Jesus already said the greatest is the littlest, the newest member of the family. That's the greatest because they need the most help, don't they? Anybody notice the difference a baby makes in your house? Boy, I had to bump my wife so often at night to wake her up to go get that baby from crying. She caught me when the grandkids were born. She really did. I thought she was sleeping, and I heard a baby in our house, and I bumped her, and she goes, "You rat." I'm like, "What?" She goes, "All these years, you've heard babies crying at night, and you probably done that every time you heard a baby cry, didn't you? You bumped me like that, and I'd wake up, and I'd just jump out of bed and run and find the baby." Said, "Guess what, Mr. Elbow? That baby's calling your name. And every baby we ever hear, from now on, that's your duty. That's makeup." You understand? Aren't you glad God doesn't bump somebody and say, "Go help them"? Aren't you glad God's not like that? He shows up himself, doesn't he? And sometimes he takes you with him, doesn't he? Did you ever go somewhere when you don't know what to do and you're not sure what to say, and then you found out later you helped him anyhow? You didn't know what to say, you didn't know what to do, and you were there? Aren't you glad for God's presence and power in your life to turn the light on in a really dark room? Reading scripture and praying together. So this isn't a contest. We simply speak as we are directed. We, as the light of Christ, infiltrate this world to bless people. We become, because of the fire of the Holy Spirit, we become the light of the world. Is that amazing? Doesn't have to be a lot of light, does it? How dark did it get in your house when Hurricane Sandy showed up and turned the lights off? They get your lights too? I think we were out for about a week. Somebody was down 2 weeks. Some people never lost power. I was thinking about moving in that time. That's what I'm thinking. I think that ought to be one of them realtor questions. How long did you lose lights during Hurricane Sandy? Right? We ought to have a little more reasonable questionnaire about houses instead of just how much were the taxes and what was the fuel bill and those kind of things. The same voice that said, "Let there be light," says, "You are the light." Does that startle you? Did you know God could have put something as bright as the sun in this church? He could have sent an angel here with a big glowing, flowing, white so brilliant you couldn't even see. Instead, he sent me. Live with it. Get over it. Whatever you need to do. But he asks us to be the light in our community, doesn't he? Do you see the problem with the church and the people hiding in the church when God's inclination is to turn the church inside out and the world right side up and put the light where it needs to be in the darkest spot? A good friend of mine comes to our house frequently, and I keep asking him if his wife wants to come, and he said, "My wife will not come. We live in the city, and she will not travel at night past the streetlights. If the streetlight ends, we turn around." She said, "You don't have any streetlights up here." I said, "We have one about every mile or something. I think almost every corner has at least a street, right? Isn't that how they've done it now? Every intersection has one streetlight." He said, "Man, we've been driving about a mile. We haven't seen a streetlight yet." Yeah. Yeah. He drove here. He drove to Rock Hill from Long Island. And when he got in the car, I said, "Come on, we're going to the country." Don't you love it? Maybe you didn't, but he was pleased with that. He said, I thought that's where I was. I said, no. You can get to the country from here, but this ain't the country. So just get in and hang on. And that's when we found out there's the street lights. I didn't even notice there weren't street lights. I didn't even notice the darkness. Did you know the light doesn't notice the darkness? When you're carrying a flashlight or a lantern, do you understand? You are always walking in the light. And that's why John says, walk in the light as he is in the light. And the places you go, you don't have to be afraid of, because the light diffuses the darkness. See how cool this is? The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, manifested as a light, shines with us, in us, and we become that light. And Paul says this is so that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault. Notice it doesn't say perfect, but without fault. You see the difference? Without fault. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the darkness. Isn't that amazing? Maybe for the first time in somebody's life, because of how you are living, because of Christ in you, they will now have a choice how to make a decision. Is that cool? They now see how you live, how you walk, and now they know, I have a choice too, don't I? Okay? All right. I got 2/3 of the way down the first page. I think we'll still be working on this for a little while. We did, however, move to verse 3. We're making headway. But you need to keep in mind, I am not working with a headwind. It is not necessarily the Holy Spirit holding me back, but I believe he is helping me to preach clearly here. Do you understand the difference? I still think we're at the right place at the right time for those who are going to be here when they get to be here, okay? So Pentecost continues, because I need to tell you, the day of Pentecost didn't end on the day of Pentecost. It's when the church began to grow, and we're still in that growth time. We will grow until the Lord returns, and only he knows when that is. So we'll do our part until then, okay? Does that make sense? All right, let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for helping us to enjoy these words that were saved and written down so that we might understand them. But it's not just the power of the written word, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit.